KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
I'm about to shoot a horse in the head. Oh, the horse's head is gone.
Oh, nice.
This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and I just shot a horse in the face. Oh, and an ostrich.
And,
oh.
And your name's Alon, the ostrich shooter.
Ostriches have tiny heads.
And my name's Ara, and I guess I'm not quite as amused as you are at this new game.
Oh, it's fantastic. So, like, there's someone at the Onion, probably like a student project or something, and they said, hey, we should make a joke out of this, or it's already a joke.
Yeah. What's the game called?
Dude, I don't even know.
Headshot?
Close range?
Close range, yeah.
And what do you do in this game?
You shoot people in the face. And that's it. Oh, apparently
And apparently they come out of nowhere and stand up in front of you and wait for you to shoot them.
Including
animals, apparently.
Oh.
Now, I first saw this on The Onion, right? They actually did like a little like web video thingy on it, and I didn't know that they actually made a game.
No, they did, man. Go to closerangegame.com, and you can jump into the game. And what's great is that everyone will probably say, "Wow, this game loads forever. It totally makes me want to shoot somebody in the face."
And well, now you can.
And then they get that opportunity. Oh, it was beautiful. Anyway,
I'm also very impressed at the relatively high production values for something as simple as shooting someone in the face.
By the way, I totally took a screenshot when I was blowing somebody's head off.
Nicely done.
Yeah. All right. So that's interesting, but not enough to actually talk about. A couple weeks ago, I was at GDC. So were you.
As was I.
I have a picture of you with Cliffy B.
I'm very impressed.
Cliff Blazinski.
That Cliffy
B. I'm going to correct you every time you say that a lot.
Yeah, you know what? I would rather call him Cliff than Cliffy B, although I don't know why, but every time I think of him, just the word Cliffy B comes first for some reason, and I'm sure that he hates that. But
he's Cliffy B
like
forever, man.
His thing he's always done is it's Cliffy B, but now, right. Like this last year, he's been like, my name's Cliff Blazinski, blah, right. Blah, blah, blah.
Well,
wants to be taken seriously.
Okay, well, I'll forego the mockery of calling him Clifford and calling Cliff. And no, it was really, really cool, though. He came by. He stopped by the IGF where we had our game that was in the IGF, which was really sweet. And I actually demoed the
IGF
game.
IGF is?
The Independent Games Festival.
Thank
for,
you.
For all you non-fanboys listening.
Yeah. It it was kind of neat. Saw him walk by. He wanted to play someone else's game. We try to convince him to play your game.
That's because that's how we roll. We kind of, that's what we do.
Yeah.
So we corner pseudo celebrities as a team, and we'd get them to play our game.
But while I was there, I also went to a session, the experimental games something session.
Workshop
whatever.
Session?
I don't know. But John,
what does that even mean?
It's let's not litter our discussion with such banal.
Well, no, we're talking about experimental games. Like, what is that?
It's an experiment. I'm trying something new.
Oh, okay.
That's cool.
So is that an excuse to make a really bad game?
No, it's to try something new, whereas other people may not have the guts to try something so crazy.
Exactly. So let me describe some of these games to you.
It's like Flow? Because that's terrible.
No, because it would have to be a game in order to be called an experimental game.
Actually, the Flow guys were there showing off Flower.
What?
Flower.
Oh, Flower.
Yeah, they were showing off the pre-development of Flower. They didn't even show the final game. They just showed their ideas, which led up to the final game.
Which
they never showed everybody.
Stupid.
Yeah. Well.
Just like their clouds, whatever.
A lot
like,
of people love it. So, anyway.
It doesn't make sense.
That's another discussion.
Yeah.
So I've got some notes on these experimental games. They showed 10 of them, and they were really probably the most interesting thing that I saw at the show. They demonstrate a lot of interesting ideas that people hadn't thought about, at least a lot of people hadn't thought about. And
even more interesting than IGF? Because I'd say a lot of stuff in there was pretty experimental.
Well, yeah. I mean, the indie games, that's where you get a lot of the cool stuff, but these are also independent. They just weren't in the festival, right?
So now who would you say is more indie? The indie games in the IGF or the experimental games?
I didn't look at every IGF game. But I didn't see any that stood out to me as this amazing like bastion of hope for game design. Yeah.
Because as you know, as popularized by Mega 64, if you're not indie, then F you.
Then you ain't nothing.
Then F you, yeah. And you get a punch in the face. So
the problem is that I have to try and remember back to these games.
Well, we can always talk about video game sex surveys while you look that up.
No. I've got it in front of me here. So there's several of them. Like, one of the first ones that was shown, I think, in fact, the first one, was The Unfinished Swan. So, to give you an idea of what the game is.
That was in the IGF, too.
Was it?
Yeah, but go ahead.
Well, all right.
I'll let you do the explanation.
There you go. This is not one of my favorites, but it was in there. It was interesting, but there wasn't a whole lot of gameplay that would make me want to play the game.
No, but I thought the concept was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, so Rich, imagine, if you will, a monitor turned on and you see nothing but white. It's just a white screen.
So my eyes hurt.
Yes.
Okay.
And then you press a button and you fling like a ball of paint. And then somewhere in the world that is totally white, the paint hits an object and explodes. And then whatever it hits and splatters onto, I mean, suddenly you have paint there. So you can see some of the world. And you keep throwing these balls of paint. And as you do that, the objects in the world have more paint on them, and therefore you can see them better. Right?
Okay.
There's no shadows, but like
or
all
you
white
can
objects.
See them. Period.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, exactly.
Because there's no shading. There's no nothing. Everything is literally
nothing.
Either black
or
white. And the thing that I thought was so cool about this mechanic, which they didn't really have a chance to exploit it to the fullest extent that it could
by
be.
By they, you mean the one guy who made it.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that if you shoot too much, you start getting the exact situation you started off with because things become so black that you still can't see anything.
Agreed.
And so you have to kind of like tighter your shots in a way so that you have just enough of this white-black splotchiness that you can actually see what's going on.
That didn't become a real problem as I was
watching. So it's like a puzzle game, like maze, or like what's the goal?
Well, that's the thing. The developer guy, he said he just had this idea, right? And that's what's cool about it. It's
okay.
It's experimental because it's not a complete game yet. He said, mostly when people have an interesting idea, it just turns into a puzzle game and it ends there, right? And he wanted to do something a little bit different. I don't know if he used the word visceral, but he wanted to have...
I really hope not.
I just picture...
if anyone's using that word, they better not be at the IGF.
So, boy.
But you don't like visceral games, Aura?
I've had far too many visceral games up in my collar.
He showed this idea, and everyone's like, wow, that's really interesting, but we're not sure how to turn it into a game. And then he showed sort of, you know, a later version, and there's some indication. There was stuff in the world that was yellow, and it was sort of like the tracks of the swan, the little footprints, right? And so you can kind of tell where he went. And then later on, there's like...
So it actually involves a real swan? Like you're trying to find it?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
It's weird, man, though, because there's not a lot of story, but there's some.
So it's like Ape Escape with swans?
No, it's basically... No. It's basically... It's this simple. It's that you have to find this swan, and you can really only see its tracks. And you can really only see its tracks sometimes, right? I mean, it's not like it's like actively running away from
you. Yeah, it's not a constant set of breadcrumbs or anything.
It's just there's clues around the world, and so you have to shoot your paint to see the world... And then you have to figure out where to go, and that's pretty much.
And he said he broke down and eventually had to just do some puzzle elements, put some puzzle elements in there because, you know, they were interesting enough.
Okay.
So that was experimental gameplay, right? Not a game, just a gameplay element. That was sort of interesting. And right after him, another guy said, "So here was an idea that I had," and he showed off about exactly the same idea that they had both had independent of one another, but his like. Was supposedly a world of rain that you couldn't see, right? But so the paint would hit the walls and then slowly fade away.
That must suck for the guy who had to go second.
Yeah. But no, that was something... He was showing off a different game but because he had started his and then he learned about the other guys.
That's
and so
funny.
He had him and said, I like yours better, so, you know, power to you. And I'm going to go do some other stuff now. That guy was from... what is the name of the company? Flashbang. Which is local to us.
Okay.
Flashbang, cool.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to visit Flashbang this week.
Sweet. Are you? How come you didn't tell me about this?
Because you didn't ask.
Yeah, I've been wanting to. I haven't talked to them in a couple of years.
But... Okay. Well, if you want to come down this Thursday at lunch, you can.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should. All right. You mean your people, you call my people.
All right. That's cool.
All right. So Flashbang guys, they're local to us, Phoenix, Tempe kind of area. They make a game. I forget the names of their games. Like off-road. What's that?
They sound familiar. I think
what's the dinosaur that's a really big deal in Jurassic Park that like kills everybody?
The Velociraptor.
Yeah. Like off-road Velociraptor.
Yeah, they made that game.
Yeah.
Okay. I know who that
also
is.
Also, the game with the flying Brontosaurus.
Yeah.
All right. So they showed off this paint thing, or one of the guys did, and they said, but we're going to show you this game called Shadow Physics, which is the absolute favorite game that I saw at the show. So I'm going to describe this game to you in what I expect is about the 2 minutes that we have left. And there's a few other games I'll talk about when we get back. All right. So Shadow Physics. There are, like a lot of games, there's a 3D world. 3D worlds often have shadows. In this game, you play a character that has no real representation, just a shadow representation. So you're the shadow, and you know, you walk around as a shadow. You interact only with shadows directly. It's all right. So in the world, there will be objects other than the character that represents your shadow. There would be like a box or a sphere or a platform or something. And so let's say there's a cube in mid-ground. You're obviously in background because you're on a wall where a shadow is projected. You're standing on top of the shadow created by the box on the same wall as you are. You can then jump onto the shadow of some other platform or whatever. That's simple stuff. Like the background okay. has shadows on it. Cool. Here's where it gets really neat. So you can interact with these shadows and they affect the real world. So he can walk up to a box and he can push it and move the box. So then the box in the real world moves away. What you might find afterwards is that there's a different box that was previously behind the other box that you were just looking at. So imagine this. In the mid-ground, you've got a large box. In the further back mid-ground, there's a smaller box that you can't see.
So it's like a platformer. Like it looks, it's like 2D with a depth, like Little Big Planet-ish. Like it has depth to it, kind of.
No, it's 3D, but you're
viewing it from like a 2D
viewpoint.
You exist
as a shadow.
Is that or not?
Kind of, because the camera can change.
Okay.
But you can only walk on, like, interact with black space, and the walls are white. And
so is it more
it's
like
really hard to explain without showing you. That's what's so cool about these games. So let's say you've got a really large box, and behind it is a small box, but you can't see it because of the direction of the camera. All you see is the big box. Your character on the back wall, you're the shadow. You jump up into the air, so you're then pushing on the top part of the large box, and you push it forward. It moves forward. Meanwhile, this other box that you previously could not see stays where it was because you weren't pushing it. But the other box, you only hit the top of it, and it slid over. So then you're suddenly standing on this box because the shadow from the small box is now projected on the back because you moved the big box out of the way, and now you can see both of them. So suddenly you've created this, like, staircase. And then they add in where you can interact with more than one wall. And that's the coolest part. I'm going to describe that when we get back. So, you know. Don't touch that dial.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox, video game radio, in your face, all the time.
In your face?
In your face.
All right, well.
I'm a big fan of the face jokes.
Here's what's in your face.
It's like
UAT.edu, the University of Advanced Technology, where you can go to become a designer, developer, producer, or anything you really want to be if you try hard. And then you can
get into our face.
Don't slack off.
And then we'll get back into your face.
And you can meet Ray Kurzweil.
And then there's going to be headshots.
Yeah. Ray Kurzweil is going to be there in a few
weeks.
I'm kind
of excited.
Where's that?
At UAT, man.
Oh. That's pretty cool. Ray Kurzweil is a very big deal and a hard to pronounce name.
Yes. April 30th at noon. That's a Thursday.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. All right. So I was talking about Shadow Physics, and I always have a hard time talking about this stuff and wrapping it up. But so you're the shadow. I could probably find a YouTube video of it. You're the shadow. You can interact with objects, and when you do, you interact. It affects the objects in the real world that cast the shadows. Now, let's say you walk all the way to the end of the wall. Your shadow continues, and there's a right angle, right? There's two walls that meet. You walk over to that wall. Your shadow wraps around and continues on the other wall, which is perpendicular, right?
Okay.
So for purposes of imagining this, you've got one wall that goes along your eyesight, right? From the front of the screen to the rear of the world, right? And then there's a right angle to the wall that's perpendicular to your eyesight, and that's what you, where you see everything. So you walk all the way to the left of that perpendicular wall. Suddenly you're wrapped around this wall on your left, and then you're interacting with other things over there. But of course, a platform that used to project in a long 2D format on the rear wall looks totally different when its shadow is cast onto a wall on the left from a different light source, right? It might look, let's say a platform angles from low left to upright on the screen on the back wall. Now, really, it's just going to look like a tall pillar on the left wall. So you've got this different thing blocking you. Now, if you have multiple light sources, you have a shadow on the left wall and you have a shadow on the rear wall. So you have shadows of different formats affecting you. So in one area, you're walking up this angled land, right? The platform. But the other shadow is interacting with this vertical wall, not a platform. So you have to, like, you might just be jumping and be hitting a ceiling that you don't even see. And then you look at the other wall and realize, oh, wait, there's a shadow above my head that's stopping me from being able to jump up. Believe it or not, this produces a whole lot of interesting puzzle elements and things you can do. Like, you can roll a sphere by hitting its shadow over to the left of the screen and then walk on the other wall and move the sphere forward, like to the foreground, and where it hits a ramp, and the ramp rolls the ball down and then allows you to get further on. You go back to the rear wall, and again, really hard to explain without showing you. But if there's ever a YouTube video out or something I haven't even looked, look for Shadow Physics by these guys.
That sounds really cool. I'm trying to think about it in my head.
It's impossible, right?
And I really, it's probably way different than what I'm thinking, but yeah, it still sounds really cool.
I'm thinking of a game in my head, but I don't know if it's that game.
I Spy. It's awesome, though. It was totally my favorite, and I'm very excited to see it. there was another game that a guy called said that was basically working with a fourth dimension, and I couldn't even begin to understand it.
That's
so
going to start stupid. To hurt people's heads.
Yeah, I'm not going to even try to.
Which dimension is he going into?
So let me, while you look
it
for that.
It wasn't time. It was crazy. Man.
Let me say a couple things about the fourth dimension. So some of you may be lucky enough to have seen these kind of like 4D hypercube simulators.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That doesn't make any sense.
And a hypercube is a cube in four dimensions. Okay? So there's these demos that are...
That doesn't make sense.
Okay, you're going to turn this mic off so I can talk or what?
Go ahead.
Basically, if you can probably search for these and you can find one pretty easily on the web somewhere. You know, maybe even there's a Flash version of one, right? And what it does is it presents to you a 3D projection of a four-dimensional hypercube. Right? Because we can't see in 4D space. We can only see 3D projections, much like things on a television screen are 2D projections of things that are in 3D, assuming you have a 3D game that that's on the TV screen, obviously, right?
Yeah.
So here's the interesting thing is that if you've actually played with one of these little simulator things, right, you'll notice that it's incredibly difficult and really just almost impossible to visualize what this cube in four dimensions looks like. It basically just looks like a wireframe of a cube inside another cube, and you can rotate it on different axes, a lot of these simulators. And when you do that, it basically just looks like it's like going in on itself or in the opposite direction. Anyway, my point is it makes no sense to us 3D beings, so I'm curious how this 4D game will work. But go ahead.
Dude, you're just going to – I'm not going to talk about it. I have no friggin' idea. I was staring at him, and there were all these – it was split, right? The audience was like, wow. And then the other half was like, what? And I was one of the, what?
Yeah, that just doesn't make sense to try to make a game that's 4D because we're incapable of understanding beyond three dimensions.
No, see, this man has more foresight than you.
Oh, okay.
We're not incapable
Mr.
of understanding.
Well,
it
oh,
might
I'm
just
sorry.
Be difficult.
Let's make a game based around string theory, and let's have all 11 dimensions, and you have to play this thing. Like,
well, I think probably, I think my guess would be that most of the people who actually got it or saw some insight into how it could be cool probably were familiar with, you know, 4D space.
Maybe, man. I just, whatever. I am not even going to talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, cool. Next game?
All right, so there's a different game called Today I Die. It's just this dude with crazy hair and this weird French accent, and he had a few different games that he's made, which you might even be able to play online, but I don't recall their titles, so too bad, we're not going to find those. This game just had like a poem on the screen, and at the top of the screen, and at the bottom half of the screen had some other things going on. It's kind of a bland screen, right? There were a couple words that you could affect in some way. So like, oh, I should have actually written the poem down. There's something about, I don't know, this girl wants to die, and it's sort of like a morbid poem. But if you change one of the key words, it changes from like, I want to die to I want to shine, right? And so you can
do drugs instead of dying. Okay,
no, cool. You can't change it to anything, but like there was a way you could manipulate the word so that it converted to shine. And when you did that, the environment that showed on the screen changed a bit. And so different items or enemies or characters, I should say, might appear on the screen.
So this screen is basically a visual depiction of what the poem represents, or no?
Not really. So the poem has, you know, three lines. It's telling some small part of a story, and there's like a girl on the screen and like black or red or something. But it's morbid, like she's hanging from something. And then you switch one word to shine, and like she starts to glow, and then other things appear on the screen, and then you can grab those things, and you can you get access to more words that you can then change the poem to say different things, right? And when you do that, more stuff appears, and she can kind of go down and get other things. And again, very, very difficult to explain. I really honestly didn't do enough preparation for this bit, because I'd want to point you guys all to YouTube videos if they exist. But it was playing on words and story, and it's the sort of thing that, like, Michaela was there too watching, and she just fell in love with this thing. She thought it was great because she loves, you know, English and poetry and all that crap that none of us care about.
Especially that damn English.
Yeah. So, but it was very... Again, I overuse the word interesting, but it definitely piqued...
Intriguing?
Yes, intriguing. It definitely piqued my interest because it wasn't so much gameplay. Like, it wasn't Twitch stuff. You're not jumping over platforms and worrying about getting hit by enemies.
Right.
But it was a different way that you progress through this story and a different experience that you have compared to, you know, other types of games that we've played. So I found that interesting as well. Then there was another game called Acron. And it was sort of like an idea, an engine that they implemented using a real-time strategy game because they felt it best displayed or demonstrated the idea. But the idea is simply that you can go back in time and affect, like Back to the Future style, affect the future or the present or the future by going back in the past.
There's been a few games that are starting to explore that territory.
So let's say you play a real-time strategy. You build some, you know, tanks and dudes, and you go over and you fight some other guy. But then you have a certain number of like resources or reserve points that allow you to go back in time a certain amount and then experience a certain amount of that time in the past again. So you could say, so some guy like comes around and beats up all your stuff. So you're like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to go back in time and not build my stuff there. I'm going to build it somewhere else. So when you throw a nuke over there, you hit sand and jerk off.
This is an RTS game in which you can go backwards in time.
Yeah, dude.
That throws everything off.
Isn't it? It's so hard to understand. But like, so you
now, did they actually do a multiplayer implementation of this?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
crazy.
Like,
I don't understand how that's. Is it like in? So
they say
that's nuts.
It reverses back and forth because right, you just think, oh, that's easy to win. Somebody does this, you're just like, all right, well, I'm not going to be there then, and I'm just going to go around and, you know, beat up your other guy before you can go. I don't know even. Enough terminology about RTS games.
But it's like you only have so much reverse time points.
Exactly.
Okay.
But it's not limited to like just 3 seconds. Like you get a good amount,
yeah.
But not unlimited.
Well, 3 seconds would
never
be worthless in an RTS.
You understand my point,
yeah.
Though. It's a reasonable amount. And he said like it would just, they came up with very creative ways to screw the other person that they had never conceived of. And anyway, we got to go to break again. It was a very interesting idea. We'll be back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
All right, we're back. And so... I know that we want to move on to some other stuff, so I'll stop talking about these experimental games, but before we
that
did
no, video. They're cool. I love experimental games.
Like looking at that.
There's definitely a video of Akron that does a. I mean, its entire intention is to explain how it works, this whole time distortion thing. So I want to lead people to this. So just go to Google, search for Akron. That's A-C-H-R-O-N. By the way, totally pisses me off because it's just like Archon.
Oh, yeah, but not Archon.
And apparently there's a new Archon game. I saw someone wearing a t-shirt for ArchonClassic.com or something. Anyway, totally different issue. Akron RTS game, and the first things you'll see are from the Big Download, which is a joystick website. And the very first link, you know, takes you to a YouTube video, and you can watch about it. And it gives you the whole explanation of chrono energy, your ability to go back in time and not move your mech to somewhere that it's going to get killed by the enemy, and you know, these time waves that propagate into the future after you change the past. So if you change something way, way in the past, it takes a long time to catch up to the present. And anyway, very cool idea. They've built it as like this thing that it's an idea, sort of an engine thing that could be implemented in other games. But I have a feeling it's the sort of thing that if they don't do, no one will do.
Yeah.
Because you got to be really into the idea.
I couldn't see any developers that are already making games do that.
Yeah, they've got to do this all on their own if they want it to happen. So power to them. Very interesting. I don't play RTSs that much, but or ever. But, you know.
Yeah, I don't either, but that sounds really cool.
Another game we saw was Tyler. Is that the name? Tyler Glale?
Tyler Glare is a person's name. You're correct.
Am I right that that's the kid's name?
Yes, that's the guy's name.
All right, so this kid, he's like this tall, lanky, 18-year-old kid. Apparently, he's programmed like tens of Flash games.
He's quite prolific. And he's made a couple of really interesting games.
Quite a while ago, I showed off or talked about a game on the air that I had even forgotten about until you mentioned it to me a couple weeks ago.
Aether.
Last week, called Aether. Yeah, yeah. A-E-T-H-E-R. I guess he programmed that.
Or Aether.
Aether.
Maybe.
A-E is Aether. An Aether sound.
Anyway, don't care.
Okay, so I'm going to go look up the encyclopedia.
Yeah. But he showed off a game called Closure, which you can play at Newgrounds. If you go to newgrounds.com, search for Closure, you'll find it.
I'm glad you mentioned this, because I think this is a really, really sweet idea. And maybe you'll indulge me
the idea of having a game on Newgrounds or the game Closure?
No, the game Closure.
All right, so
maybe you'll indulge me.
What's weird is he started showing off the game, and I'm like, oh, I've totally seen that idea somewhere. But the more I think about it, the more I can't think of where I ever saw that idea.
I haven't seen it somewhere else, and maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody has. But
so here's the idea.
You're not going to let me say it. That's cool.
All right. Oh, were you going to?
I said it about twice, but that's okay.
No.
All right. Please. So Closure.
Closure.
Right?
Hey, Ara, what's this Closure game about?
I'm glad you asked. So Closure is a game where basically the premise is if you can't see it, it's not there.
Out of sight, out of mind, brother.
Right. And actually, now I remember what game this is related to.
Echochrome.
Right. It's kind of related to Echochrome. It's kind of like the inverse of what Echochrome is. Because
that's
in
totally
Echochrome, the idea was if something seems to be connected, then it is. Right?
Yeah.
And so in this game, it's kind of like different, but I think it's just done in a much more elegant way because the whole thing is just a lot more straightforward. It's basically a 2D game where you're moving around and you have to get from one point to the other and you're manipulating these lights. And some of them you manipulate, some of them you don't.
I think it's also important to mention the scale of the graphics, that it's either black or white, like that other game we were talking about.
Okay, so everything's in black and white.
Yes.
Right? And so there's these lights in these rooms that you navigate through. And if something's lit up, right, then you can see it. It's white, right? I mean, it's not like completely white. I mean, you can tell what it is. And there's a platform, right? But if the platform is not lit anymore, then you can't see it, and the reality of it is that it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Which is, it's just a really cool idea. You guys should check it out.
So these lights are contained just like glowing orbs, and you can pick up these orbs. So at the beginning of a level, you might see nothing but a circle of, you know, background graphics and the ground that you can walk on, and of course your character. And this circle is just created by the radiance of the light. And it's only about as tall as your character, so it's not filling up the whole screen. So you bend down, you grab this orb, and as you walk with it, obviously you're holding the light. So as you walk forward, you're constantly walking on ground because you're lighting up the ground as you walk forward. Now you might come across a wall that you can't surmount. So you drop the orb. So now the light is a little bit lower than your center, right? It's on the ground rather than at your waist. because you're not holding it anymore. And the wall that's in front of you only goes about waist high because it radiates only so much from this light orb. So you can jump up on top of this wall while the orb is on the ground and then get across to the other side where there may be a separate orb that you can jump to because there's land.
Now, really, the wall continues, right? But since you can't see the part that's not lit, it may as well just not be there. It's really not there.
Yeah, and then there's these things where you put the orbs into these holders that then travel through the world. That's one thing I don't like about the game design, that you have no cue from the beginning where these light orbs are going to travel when you place them into the orb holders. That kind of bugs me, so you just have to kind of guess. But let's say you jump over a wall in the manner that I just described, and then you grab another light orb that was on the other side. You pop it into this light holder. The light holder then goes into the ground, sort of into the background, and then down, and then over to the left, back where you came from. So you have to walk with it as it's moving because you're not controlling it anymore. And then it goes right to this wall that you had to jump over before, but it starts going up. So you have to jump onto the wall, but as the light goes up, the wall goes up. So you go up with it, kind of like an elevator. And then, of course, that orb will change direction and go somewhere else. And if you don't jump along with it, there's not going to be any land under your feet anymore because the wall is no longer visible. So luckily, this is a game that it's totally playable now. There's 30 levels. He said it's really just an idea, and he wants to grow the idea more. But it really looks like a full game as it stands. At least there's a number of playable levels.
Yeah, I would give it the credit of saying that it's more than just an idea. It's a really cool game.
So. Yeah, but anyway, he was just saying that he's not done with the idea and he wants to go further with it. So find it. Go to newgrounds.com. Find Closure. And give it a shot. And then you can go over to the guy's website. It's glailgames.com. But Glail is spelled all crazy, G-L-A-I-E-L or A-E-I-L. I don't know.
G-L-A-I-E-L.
Yeah, you'll figure it out when you go to the website.
Yeah. Or you'll go to some porn site instead, which maybe you prefer.
But I had to ask the kid how old he was. He's only 18 years old. And you go to his website and he's made a bunch of games.
I'm very impressed. It's very impressive.
Cool beans.
Yeah. It was good times. So... Akron, Closure, Shadow Physics was awesome, Unfinished Swan, Today I Die was weird, and I have to find the other Flash games that guy made. Maybe I'll find it by the end of the show and be able to link you guys to them. But lots of cool games in the Experimental Workshop, some others that I didn't mention, but Shadow Physics, if we're going out to lunch with these guys, then
then hopefully they'll be nice to us.
Can I just mention quick on the topic of experimental games? I know Alon didn't see it, but Aura has seen it. Coil?
Yeah, I saw
it. It's not... It's just nothing.
Okay, look, Rich.
It's literally horrendous.
Rich. Maybe... I haven't seen enough of Coil to give it a fair judgment, okay? But I'm going to tell you guys a little story about it, okay? So Coil was the game actually next to our game night game. Which is a game that I worked on at the IGF.
It was to the left, right? To the right was The Path.
Right. Okay. So I was actually very interested in it because the game is obviously not designed to be a game in the normal sense of it.
No.
Right? And in fact, the guy who made the game, he put up this sign next to it that basically said, this game is something that's designed to be experienced in an intimate setting. It's not an intimate setting, but it's an intimate game, right? And it's supposed to be experienced in a place that's exactly the opposite of GDC with its cacophony of, okay, now there's a fly trying to attack me in my life.
Yeah, welcome to the club.
So, and so basically the sign says there's no way for you to possibly enjoy or understand what this game is actually like in this kind of environment, which I thought was kind of, very just really cool of him to do that because he said, if you want to check it out, email me or whatever, and then I'll show you this, and the other thing, right? And I didn't get a chance to check it out, but dude, I don't think it's supposed to be a FPS or anything, man.
No, the thing is though, I was playing it at home, just on my computer by myself in an intimate setting, and it's it just starts in literally. You're a sperm on the screen, and there's just other stuff going around, and so it's just okay, I guess when I wiggle the mouse, the tail moves, and then I move forward, and then eventually I hit an egg and fertilize it, and then it gives me some narrative that doesn't make any sense for a minute, and I can't skip over it, and it takes forever for it just to sit there.
Maybe you shouldn't skip over it.
Well, I read through it, and then I sit there and wait for another 45 seconds, because it's two sentences. And it's ridiculous. So then, like, the next level is, like, these blobs on the screen. So, like, you move the mouse to separate them randomly into groups.
Without knowing precisely what his intention was, I can...
It just doesn't make any sense.
I can pretty assuredly say that his audience was not you.
And then, like later on, there's just all these little, like, oh, here's a screen, and here's, like, your character that you're controlling slash not controlling by some sort of mouse gesture or clicks or something. And at some point, you're just moving the mouse, and, like, stuff is shooting out in some form, and then it just ends, but nothing ever happened, and it just doesn't make any sense. You're just, like, sitting there looking at it and moving the mouse randomly, and then it just ends, and then some narrative comes up on the screen again, and then something else is on screen, and it's moving some way, and then that's done.
Didn't Clail also work on that game?
It's horrible.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he worked on that game, but him and...
It's horrible.
I didn't want to say the guy's name because I think I might screw it up, but I'll try anyway. I think the guy's name is Ed McMullen, and he's actually done a lot of indie games, and he's worked with Tyler Glail as well on some games. Well, and
whatever his intentions were...
Yeah. I don't think... I think that you're looking at it from the wrong perspective, dude.
It's no fly wrench.
It just didn't make any sense.
It's no fly wrench.
All right, well, we'll talk about the other stuff and sex when we come back.
Is that what we do every week?
No. I try to.
All right.
All right, we'll be back.
We'll indulge.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I can't believe we're at the last segment already. This show is just
it's been going. By. It's been flying by.
Dude, it flies. And we've even got a caller. Before we take our caller, I want to mention UAT one more time, the University of Advanced Technology. Go to uat.edu to learn more about what they can offer you. We got a hold of the Storyteller game on the net made by the guy who made that Today I Die weird story game that I had a very difficult time describing. Hopefully I'll be able to tell you how to find it on the Intertron. Search for... Oh, man, what do you search for? I'll just give you the domain name here. Ludomancy.com. Here's how you spell it. L-U-D like dog. O-M-A-N-C-Y.
And you know what Ludo means?
I don't.
That's, what's that language? Latin. That's Latin for game, by the way.
Okay.
All right.
He has a picture, by the way, of the Today I Die game. Okay. So, from ludomancy.com.
That's not a Jesper Jewell, is it?
No.
Okay,
it's
just curious.
Daniel Ben-Mergui. You go to that page and you can play I Wish I Were the Moon game, which was interesting, Storyteller, which is the one I was showing you, and ludomancy.com. Unfortunately, there's not a really good picture of his amazing haircut. Anyway. Imagine this, left side of the head all shaved and the right side all long hair.
The studio is about to be like a horror like film filled with flies everywhere.
All right. So we've got a caller. Now, is this a real call?
What does the board say?
An actual caller.
I think it might be.
Yeah. We didn't even mention the phone number. If you want to call, 602-277-KFNX or 866-536-1100. But for the moment, let's take Marissa from Seattle. Marissa, you are on the air with Chatterbox.
Hello. I was just calling to tell you guys that your show is awesome.
Well, thank you.
It was totally fun to see Aura and everyone in GDC.
You were at the GDC with us.
What's up, Marissa? Yes, you may remember Marissa Alon.
Or maybe not. I totally, yeah.
Maybe you can refresh Alon's memory, Marissa.
Oh, yeah. It was very fun to meet you guys with the Park 55.
Behind the dumpster, right?
Yeah, exactly, right?
No, not behind the dumpster.
Not quite. So, yeah, but no, definitely. And I checked out Tyler's games online, actually. I really liked the one that you were talking about with all the light traveling with you. That was very interesting.
Closure, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It was totally neat.
Yeah, definitely.
That's all I can say about it is totally neat.
Yeah,
that's the extent of my vocabulary today.
Well, that's okay.
Well, I just wanted to say hi from Seattle, so thanks so much, you guys.
Right on. Do you have a question for us? Maybe some trivia? Maybe a challenge, even?
Trivia, challenge.
Do we solicit trivia from callers?
We do when they don't have questions.
What's your highest score on the Pac-Man game that's on your website?
How long ago I put those games on there?
My reply would be, there's a Pac-Man game on our website.
No, seriously, though, what do you think of that new Nintendo DSi?
Oh, wow. We actually talked about this before the show, and our...
I don't understand why... Okay, first of all, why is there an I... Which I've never understood with any product.
Dude, it's
with
got
an
it's
eye
half of
it. Whether it's from Apple or not.
All right, everybody shut up. It's got two cameras on it.
Okay, so why is there an eye?
An eye, like an eyeball.
So why isn't it the DSi?
Oh my god.
Because that would be too much like the Wii, obviously.
Okay. And let's all right. So I don't really. It doesn't. I mean, I don't understand.
Well, listen, Ara also doesn't even have a DS.
That's right.
So he might not be the right person to ask. I, however, was just using my DS this weekend to play Peggle, which I hadn't realized was released a month ago.
Yeah.
For the DS, so that was cool. Still better on Xbox Live
and PC,
but I don't have to play a downloadable version on Xbox Live. I can play an actual cart on the DS.
Nice. You know what? We were going to talk about sex. This segment.
Why not keep on the only girl who's ever called our show?
And exactly. Now, it's actually very, it's a very nice coincidence that you've called, Marissa, because there's a sex survey that was done in Britain.
Ara does one of these about every week.
And maybe we'll quiz you, and maybe you can, we'll find out how much you know about guys in the UK and sex. How does that sound?
Dear.
And video
I
games.
Don't know about that.
And this is related to video games. It's very important.
This girl plays games. She could
related?
Be. A...
Yes, you'll find. Okay, so let's just get right into it,
is
right?
Is this the girl we met with the husband or not the one with the husband?
Yes, this would be the one with the husband.
All right, well, we're treading on. Alon's
remembering now.
No, which husband? Okay, so let's getting down to brass tacks here. There was a survey done, it was by some site called psthreepricecompare.co.uk.
Survey says.
And they surveyed 1,130 men who were already in relationships, right? And they asked them the question, which would you prefer, sex with your partner or an evening playing video games? Now, Marissa, what I'm looking for from you is how many men do you think said, now what percentage, would rather play video games than have sex with their partner?
Now, before you answer, remember, this is an established partnership, not just some new fling that they picked up at a bar. As we all know, that's far more exciting.
Oh, so it's an actual relationship.
Yeah, no pressure.
Now you're thinking it might be close to
100%.
All answers are equally wrong, so don't worry about it.
35?
Wow, that's very good. In fact,
I don't know.
32% of men, that's astonishingly close, Marissa.
Only one third.
Only one third said that they would rather have the sex with the partner than the video game.
They, by the way, were all in the presence of their wives or partners when they answered that question.
No, I'm sorry. 32% said they would prefer to play games.
What?
That's what I was going to say.
Yes, yes.
You are
yes.
reversing this.
No. I'm just straightening it up. There's another
piece. I'm trying to switch on my numbers.
Wait a minute. So two-thirds would rather do the sex?
Two-thirds would rather do the sex, and the one-third would rather do the video games.
That is untrue.
Now... I'll get into why I think that is actually true. But the second part of the question, or really the second question, was now, if you had a choice between sleeping with your partner or a brand new game, not just any game.
Oh, a brand new game.
Now, Marissa, what percent of men do you think would say that they'd rather play the new game?
Oh, my God.
Show me potato salad.
Well, I mean, it would have to be slightly higher than 35.
I'll say it's higher. I'll give you a hint. It's not slight.
I'll go 45.
Okay. And actually, the real answer is...
10%, by the way, equals slight.
Is whopping 72%. So you would rather play the new game than have the sex with their partner.
By the way, let me tell you, this lets you know that all of the men taking the survey are optimists. Because me, I would rather play an established game I know is good than play the much more potentially crappy game that is new. Because
right.
most new games suck.
But now here's the thing. Here's the flaw in this survey, right? Because
we don't know what game.
No, listen.
In an evening, you can do both acts.
Turn off this guy's mic.
At the same time.
turn off Rich's mic. No, see, the question that they had to ask that they didn't ask is, would you sleep with a new woman or a new game? You got to compare apples to apples.
Then it's 100% for the girl.
I'll avoid that question.
But again, they should show you the girl in advance.
Yes, and that's and
otherwise it's moot.
See, I think that the results are actually not quite astonishing, because I think that it just shows you how bad people are at choosing who their partners are.
Well, what we've learned is actually that people just really like new games, right?
There you go.
Well, they really like new games. New games don't talk back. Games don't ask for things.
They just don't have good time management.
Yeah. Excuse me. My advice to you, given that you have a husband, who, no offense, by all likelihood, given statistics, is surely getting bored. your goal should be to make sex similar to a game. Make it a game so that he'll be more interested. And apparently make it a different game every time.
There you go.
That might cause a little bit of confusion if you change the rules. But, you know, apparently it's what they're looking for. So,
apparently it is.
Burn the rope.
There you go. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
All right, thank you for calling, Marissa. We appreciate
it.
Yeah, thanks for playing along.
Thank you for stroking our egos and telling us how much you love us.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Bye-bye.
See you later, Marissa.
So we need to figure out how to make a game out of Burn the Rope into a sex game.
So, well, look, we have a couple minutes left. I just want to talk about this Fallujah thing real quick.
Fallujah.
All right. So Fallujah. What's Fallujah? It's a city in Iraq where there's a big war. Oh, it's still going on.
Never heard of it.
Well, of course you wouldn't, Rich.
Never mind.
So Konami has announced a game called 6 Days in Fallujah, which is, this is really interesting because this is the first time a game has been announced and made. I'm assuming it's not been made yet, at least announced, but a war that's not finished yet.
Is that the first time?
So, well, I mean, it couldn't have been the Vietnam War. There's
Well, no, but we haven't had other wars that sort of, like modern warfare.
Yeah.
Call of Duty 4 is pretty much...
Yeah, but they're not. It's not like about a certain war, is it?
That's just because we're not technically in a war right now.
Right, so...
Yeah.
Are we technically in a war with Fallujah?
We're not at war right now. We are in a military conflict.
Okay, you know what? I'm not going to. No.
But I would say modern combat is just as much about current events.
Right, but the difference is, right? Modern combat is, it's modern combat, right? This is, there's a war going on right now in Fallujah that, you know, it's not over yet. There's troops there.
Okay.
And it's a very, very specific thing. Now, there's already been a lot of outrage over it. I just want to read a couple of quotes very quickly.
We've got 1 minute.
And we'll see how we do this. But, you know, so here's some guy. I'm not going to say who they are. I'm just going to read the quote, right? These horrific events should be confined to the annals of history, not the other word, not trivialized and rendered for thrill seekers to play out. So somebody from the Stop the War Coalition, predictably, would say the massacre carried out by American and British forces in Fallujah in 2004 is among the worst of the war crimes carried out in an illegal and immoral manner. War. All right. And I'm not going to have time to read the rest of this. But
no, you're not. Sum it up for me. They are unhappy.
People are unhappy. This is a question I want to put out.
I'm unhappy that Konami thinks they can make a first-person shooter.
Right. Well, that's one thing, right? But what if a movie came about this? Would it be the same outrage? One. Two. Do we know that what is the subject of this move? I mean, this game, right? Is it going to be like an FPS, like shoot 'em up?
No, it's a romance.
Or is it? No, but it might be about the experience of people in wartime, that's what it seems like to be, which may be a more serious treatment of the topic than people are assuming. Now, is that valid?
No, people are always assuming that it's not serious treatment. I think that's the point.
Yeah.
If it's a game, it must not be serious.
Right.
Or allowed.
Which is kind of a shame, but on the other hand, the war's not done yet.
So. Contrary to the truth. Anyway, we got to go. Show is over. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week. And yeah, that's it. Go Seattle.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.